Starts with Nevermind at the end of the year, and then everything changed.
Hello, and welcome to the final episode of Blossom Buddies.
This is the final last time Jason and I will ever do this. I was gonna be stupid and be like, this is the last time we'll see each other. That's not true. No one's gonna believe that.
If anything, we're gonna hang out more now that the pandemic is finally winding down. But this is the final episode of Blossom Buddies. Last week, you heard our lovely wives come on and talk about the final episode of the show. But this is the final episode of the podcast where we just wanted to do a bit of a post-mortem slash talk about some of our favorite stuff from the show. Maybe we'll be inspired from this episode specifically to come up with a new podcast, but nothing is in the cards for now as Craig has a tiny baby.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to need a break. Like, he had a really bad cold for the last 2 weeks, and just like all our work to get him to sleep in his crib has fallen apart. Like, he's sleeping back in our bed again, and he's not sick anymore, and he didn't have COVID. We had him tested, but yeah, he's just used to sleeping in our bed and refuses to sleep on his own. So I feel like maybe once he's sleeping on his own again, I'll be ready to do other creative projects. But
and in addition to that, my other podcast, Hey, Did You See This One, is slowly ramping up in a similar way that this podcast did. My two co-hosts seem to think we're going to be big stars. I have the foresight of several podcasts that went literally nowhere, this one included, the other ones being a live show I did weekly on Google Hangouts very briefly several years ago that only went 20 episodes. And of course, if you know me, you know about Smarkamania, which is a wrestling podcast that me and Keith McNally, friend of the show, did almost a decade ago, that really only got any footing in Australia. We had a few fans in Australia, and that was just about it. I also had a severe drinking problem back then.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple episodes, and yeah, that's a characteristic of that podcast. Jason's drinking.
It's McNally being chill because he has like two drinks and then he's like, I gotta lay off. And I have six to 12 drinks and try to do a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah. Now, not that I'm excusing or trying to enable that behavior, but Jason has a very specific like tipping point where he goes from like normal cohesive Jason to often hilarious, but like incohesive Jason.
Short-lived hilarity
until he starts taking branches and smacking them on rocks, and then we gotta call Jason's wife from the cottage and have her talk him down.
Yeah, my wife is like, we're going home from the bar now. You've had the extra drink. You did the shot. That's why I don't drink hard liquor also.
Yeah, hard liquor is too
it's
too quick.
I like to drink. Like, I like to have a beer. I like to drink the beer pretty fast. But I have to stop eventually after like 3 or 4 beers because you're right. Like, it's
anyway. Nice thing with the beer is like you get bloated if you drink too quickly. So it kind of like limits itself more than any other drink.
But when you like having a rum and coke. But when you like to drink, see, that's a good stance too. Like, if you like to drink, you got to either drink cocktails and mixed drinks, or you have to just stay away from shots, because if you like to drink, like I was going to say, you just want to keep pounding shots, and you take 6 shots, you're fucked. You're fucked.
Yeah.
That's it.
I remember doing that when I was like 20. My friends and I would like go to a bar and we'd have like $40 in our pocket. And we'd be like, well, that'll buy us 8 shots, because this was like the year 2000 and we lived in suburbs and you could
get away with $2 drink nights and everybody wasted on $40.
So we'd be at the bar for like 45 minutes and then be hungover like the entire next day. Totally worth it.
This one was interesting because if you're a longtime listener of the show, you'll remember that we used to actually have banter like this at the beginning of our shows.
Yeah. And then we were like, let's cut the shows to 22 minutes.
And we bounced through all of it so painlessly. And then let's just get right into it. Let's just get right into the bane of our existence. How about the time Blossom went to Europe, specifically Paris, for 4 episodes?
Let's get that out of the way.
It was basically a made-for-TV movie that we watched over the course of 4 weeks. If we had the power of foresight, we probably would have
done it all at once. Just done it like a Sunday. Just been like, fuck it, let's watch this 2-hour thing and do a bonanza spectacular episode.
I feel like if there was no COVID, you would have come over.
We would have hung out all day to do that one episode.
We would have probably banged the episode. And in between each episode, we could just give our thoughts and probably put it into a cohesive 40 or 50 minute episode.
It would have been like back when we did my other podcast, when we did the Vinyl Countdown Movie Club. And we would just kind of like watch and record and watch and record like all day.
Yeah. Both of our probably highest viewed video was one of those vinyl, those rebirth of the vinyl clubs for heavy metal.
Yeah.
Oh, which, man, is sitting at nearly 1 million views on YouTube.
Seriously?
It's at like, it's like 600,000, dude. It's crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah, and McNally probably didn't turn on advertising.
Nope.
He could have made money off that.
He could have made like $60 off of it.
Yeah, man.
What a dummy. Shout out to the Prison Wallets podcast, friend of the show. They were guests.
We did some crossovers with them. That was a good time. Maybe we'll do some crossovers again in the future.
They never invited me back. Isn't that funny?
No, it's not funny. It's just a thing. I don't know. Their recording schedule is so weird. Because I mean, like, well, now with the pandemic, Keith is like stuck in Fredericton. Right, so who knows how they're even recording. So that's what I figure the reason is that they're not even seeing each other in person.
I imagine they do it over Zoom though, right? I haven't seen an advertisement for that.
Yeah, but it's the same as us. We were like, we're going to have guest stars. And then when we started doing it over Zoom, we were just like, we're not going to bother.
Yeah. Which the irony is, it would probably be easier to get higher profile names.
That's true. Mark Little could join from his basement with no pants on instead of coming to your basement apartment in the middle of winter.
Yeah. And me hilariously embarrassing myself for 9 people. It was a good episode, though. He was very insightful and a great sport. I'm glad he came on the show. And if he ever hears this, thank you for coming on the show. You gave us a little boost for that week.
Yeah, thanks to all our guests. So thanks to, Mark Little, Keith McNally, Mike Mangiardi, the Prison Wallets. I don't know how to pronounce Ray's last name.
Ray Bergenjoin,
I think. Bergenjoin.
Yeah,
I was going to say Bergeron, but that's a hockey player.
Sarah Kolaski. Yep. She was a great guest.
Yep. Who else did we have? We should have.
Jake. Jake Thurgood.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. And our wives.
Our wives, finally.
Pamela and Madison. This is something we should have written down ahead of time.
I think that's everyone, though, because we were about to try to get RJ City to come on. And two things happened that would have helped us very, very greatly. One thing great, one thing terrible. Terribly, the pandemic happened, so I never got to have RJ City in my house. And the terrible thing is he rose to like medium stardom in that time. Since then, he's been on, he became best friends with David Arquette, he was in that process when I was talking to him to be on the show. I know him from working in pro wrestling shows with him. It was right around when we did the David Arquette episode. I was in talks to have him on, then the pandemic happened, and then he now like works for WWE and has been on celebrity feud on a team with a bunch of wrestlers against Paul Rubin's team.
Paul Rubin's Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah, it was David Arquette's team versus Paul Rubin's team.
That's outstanding. I got to check that episode out. I watched The Scrubs. Did you see The Scrubs Celebrity Family Feud?
No, but I want to watch that one.
It was like Fake Doctor's Real Friend. So it was like Zach Braff and Donald Faison, and then like the producers of the show. And then the other team was Neil Flynn, so the janitor, and then some of his friends, like his improv team or something. So like it was cool. Neil Flynn was the only one on Scrubs on the other side, but it was a good episode of Family Feud.
Just listen to the Neil Flynn episode of Fake Doctors Real Friends this week. First time he was on. I'm sure he's been on many times.
Yeah. That's a good podcast. When you're looking for other sitcom podcasts to listen to once this is done, if you're just grasping desperately for something to listen to Fake Doctors Real Friends with Zach and Donald.
Do you know what I learned from listening to that and The Office Ladies? These kind of podcasts should really be done by the people that were on the show.
Yeah, we have no insight into Blossom.
No.
We just watch the episode and we're like, what is this shit? Yes. Yeah, if we could have wrangled, if we had a bunch of money, like because Joey Lawrence is on Cameo, we could have just like fed a bunch of money to him, like, and had him join us for each episode. Like, granted, it would be like by proxy, he wouldn't be joining us live, but we could work around it. We could edit it and make it seem like he was talking to us. Now on Cameo, now they have like business pricing. So there's like personal messages, which is your like $50, $300, whatever they're charging. But then it's like, if you're going to use this to promote a business, pay $3,000.
It's more likely though, that if we had the resources, be more likely to get like Ted Wass, who is
that'd be great, who directed just, only directed 19 episodes. I was gonna say he directed like half the show, but he directed 19, which is still probably a lot. That's like a whole season.
He's probably a retired actor now. We probably could have gotten in touch with Jenna Von Oy, and we probably could have gotten in touch with Michael Stoyanov. I don't think Joey Lawrence likes Blossom, and I think that Mayim Bialik is like, compared to the rest of them, is a mega star because of her resurgence on
Big Bang Theory. Big Bang. And then her I still can't get over that article that I read that called her new sitcom a hit sitcom. Like, it's not a hit. It's terrible.
No. Just because 60,000 people watched it.
Yeah.
Probably more than that,
though. And she's on Jeopardy. And yeah, like even if we could get in touch, she doesn't have time.
That's the big thing about her. She got Jeopardy as the interim person, right? Like,
yeah, and she was basically like, I'm too busy to do this full time. Like, that's why she's not the like full time host.
So we should have tried to get Six's boyfriend from
That one episode
from season
what was his name? 5. Sunny was that his
Sunny,
name
something no Sunny was the pervert.
No, Sunny, yeah. So it was Six's boyfriend. But yeah, if we could have got David Schwimmer, that would also be pretty good.
Yeah, he was in the movie Breast Men and nothing else.
Yep, Friends. Blossom and then no, Friends. He was also in The Wonder Years.
No.
As an abusive boyfriend.
Blossom and the movie Breast Men and nothing else.
Must have been his brother in The Wonder Years.
Let's just pop back to Blossom and Pears, parts 1 through 4. I've got them pulled up. Just to reiterate, the story is that Blossom goes to Paris to spend time with her mother, and then she meets a boy, but Vinny goes there to try to get her back, and Joey and Anthony go over to visit, and they get into some hijinks.
Yeah, they are being couriers. They're being paid to bring a package over there by some shady people, one of whom is Steven Root, who's fucking hilarious. And yeah, it was just like this, what's the word I'm looking for? Just this totally contrived subplot. They're like, well, the Blossom can't be like the only one in Paris. And like they brought Six to Paris by just having Blossom think she saw, like, there was just doppelgangers of Six.
And then everywhere. She kept calling her too, to be like, I see doppelgangers everywhere.
Yeah. And then Six was trying out new best friends. We got Nikki Cox and I wrote it down. Someone else as Nikki Cox and Brittany Murphy were trying Six's new BFFs.
Yes.
And maybe Christine Taylor. Christine Taylor was in an episode, but I didn't look up which episode it was. That might have been that as well. Or Christine Taylor might have been the popular girl. Oh, was Christine Taylor the popular girl who wanted, she used Blossom Sleepover as an excuse to get out of the house so she could go to some party with some dude?
That's a different episode as well, So essentially what happens can be boiled down into probably two of these 20-minute episodes, but Blossom's story could have just been a two-parter and it could have just focused on Blossom. Mm-hmm. And clearly they wanted to do a epic television event style TV movie kind of thing. Because Blossom was
just like the Disneyland episode too. That was another one of those.
Well,
that was a two-parter.
All the Disney shows went to Disneyland at some point in their run, I feel like. But this one felt like when the Brady Bunch went to Hawaii. Like, it felt like an event.
Yeah.
And which Full House also lampooned by doing almost the exact same beat-for-beat story with Joey as the Greg story in the Brady Bunch. If I'm wrong about that, correct me, but that's how I remember it. It's funny to say Full House lampooned anything, because Full House is a pretty straight up, like, you know, ho-hum jokes.
Yeah, they're just gonna be like, this is just a vehicle for a lesson and advertisements. Yeah,
and then a lesson at the end. But this four-parter probably garnered more ad revenue than anything else, because I'm making an assumption here that it was on like a Friday night TJF, like 2-hour block.
No, I looked it up. It was a Sunday night.
It was a Sunday night. Okay.
I remember when we did that episode, it was a Sunday night thing. So it would have been like, it would have been competing with like World of Disney.
Yeah.
And pulling viewership over from there. Cause they would have absolutely billed it as like a mega event, like the Blossom TV movie. So then people would have watched it. The ad revenue would have been high. And then people would have been like, what the fuck did we just spend 2 hours of our lives on?
Or little girls were like, that was amazing. Cause I don't, what I
learned. They would dream of going to Paris.
Yeah. What I learned from this show is that this show is for little girls.
I don't like to, the lesson.
I don't like to gender anything, but like this, like demographic wise, this absolutely. Show was definitely for like aimed at like 9 or 10 to 15.
Can I share something that I don't think I've shared on this podcast before?
Absolutely.
I remember being in grade seven, maybe grade eight, and then like we had I think it was called like guidance class. Or it was just like kind of just I don't know, stupid shit. It was like a easy class where you just talk about stupid shit with the guidance counselor. And we went around the room and everyone like mentioned what their favorite show was. And I said Blossom and everybody laughed at me.
Everybody laughed at you.
They all are going to laugh at me.
They're all going to laugh at you. So you had a weird thing in the back of your head for most of these episodes. Like they laughed at me and you never brought it up until the final episode. Was that a plan?
Nope, that was not a plan. It was just kind of this embarrassing thing from my childhood that I was like, I don't need to bring that up, but whatever. Obviously, I've done a podcast about Blossom. I'm not embarrassed about Blossom at this point.
That's rich. I'm glad you told us about that.
The tidbits are coming out.
My biggest thing with Blossom was I would watch it with my two cousins who are girls. Mm-hmm. And they used to like this show in Full House, and I'd like sleep over and we get up on Saturday morning and watch like California Dreams and Saved by the Bell and the whole NBC Saturday morning live action lineup. And Blossom, I know it was on at nights. Obviously we would watch it on Friday night or whatever night it was on. Reruns were probably on. Reruns used to come out faster in the 90s. Like they would rerun a season like on a different night a lot of times because there was no on demand back then. So there wasn't that, like in the 90s, they didn't just like put out new seasons of shows and bring out new shows that made it to TV all the time. You would have shows stuck on a Tuesday night. Their whole run would be on a Tuesday night. Nobody would see it. It would be gone forever. Now, if a show isn't successful, it at least stays on a platform. On Netflix
Netflix buries it. Like there was that show. Oh, what was that show in the 70s about like the birth of hip hop? It was so good.
Yeah, it was two very seasons good.
And they just canceled down. For whatever reason. The Get Down. Yeah.
The Get so Down. Good. I loved it. It had music numbers and it was grand and it was very accurate.
And like Netflix canceled it and you can still find it, but they don't promote it. Like it just disappeared from all the banners and shit.
It's weird you should say that because that show was heavily promoted to me. And then when season two was done airing, I watched all of it. And after I was done watching it, like the moment I finished, I stopped getting ads for it.
Interesting.
So maybe there's something in the algorithm that's like, they will push shows you've never watched that they want you to watch, but once you watch it, they won't bug you anymore. But that's also not true because
or maybe it was a coincidence and just like you happened to finish it at the time they canceled it.
Yeah, that could be it too. Netflix is a weird platform, man.
It is so weird. Dave Chappelle, am I right?
Dave Chappelle canceled. Dave Chappelle.
No. Even if he's canceled, did we talk about this last week? Even if he's canceled, like he's still got $100 million or whatever out of this deal. Like
that's true.
If I was Dave Chappelle, I would not give a shit.
You're gonna date our show by us talking about Dave Chappelle right here too. Because
for when people are listening 10 years from now, they're gonna be like, oh, that is so 2021.
When it becomes a huge fad to go back and listen to podcasts nobody listened to from the turn of the not century, obviously the turn of the decade, which is going to be a thing. I'm calling it now, just like I called this podcast being a huge success.
It will be eventually.
I'm gonna eat my hat later, don't worry. But that brings us to, we didn't really finish talking about Paris, but fuck that, you get the point.
What was a dumb storyline. That when like Joey got real pissed off at his mom in that episode, like, yeah. I mean Joey he's angry at his mom throughout the series, but like that was a big event, right? Like he wouldn't go see her in Paris. He was all the way on the other side of the planet.
And then he shunned her a bunch. The next time that she shows up, he just gives her the like cold shoulder and is very totally like, with Joey upfront. Me too. Totally. He's very upfront about it as well. He's very much like, I don't need to give her any more of my time. She's taken too much from my time. She's been too absent to come back into my life. When I'm an adult, I'm going to be 18 very soon. I don't need her nonsense.
He's like, he's all like, I don't need her to teach me how to play basketball. I don't need her to teach me how to date women. I don't need her for this and for that. I don't need her for a damn thing. What'd she ever do for me? Ain't no damn way she could teach me anything about being a father because I'm screwing this monologue up. But basically, I'm trying to do the Fresh Prince scene where he shuns his dad. He's just like, fuck my dad.
Why don't he want me, man?
How come we don't want them, man?
So let's leave this Paris episode forever. The irony is that we technically talked about it for what will probably be half of this episode. I hate it. Do you want to talk about some celebrities? Do you want to talk? We could probably talk about all of the celebrities because they're.
While I was working today, and then I just got tired of it because there's so many.
Well, there is and there isn't. There is because up until season four, they peppered in, like they thought this show was going to be the biggest show. They spent all this money on celebrities. And then around season four, it takes a turn. And then they start, like there's a peak. And Paris is kind of the peak.
Yeah.
Is the climax. Once you get to season five, they don't even have any special episodes, let alone have celebrities come on and be like, oh, I'm Elf. I'm going to eat your cat.
There are special episodes in season five. Season five was the one where we got the sexual assault episode.
Okay, that's fair.
That was the most special episode.
That it was the most special episode, arguably in the whole series too, which is crazy that they didn't tread any other issues for teenagers.
Oh, they. I mean, like, they did. There was the joint. Remember that episode where Six and Blossom found the joint on the bus?
That was in like season two, though.
Right. Okay, you're just talking season five.
Yeah, I'm saying season five didn't have like any other.
Yeah, it was just special. That one. Yeah, you're right. Season five had the one special episode.
I would say that the arguing with the teacher thing was a little bit edgy and was like one of the lesson based.
Yeah, and then there was the one where she was going to be like the lead in a movie somehow, but she had to take her clothes off. Like none of that was believable, but they also tried to kind of make that a special episode.
Yeah. But then everybody laughed about it at the end. And you won't have to take your clothes off. Like, you just tried to put this fucking 17-year-old on a casting couch, you perverts.
And it's fucking, the thing is, it's also like a legitimate actress playing herself. I forget her name, but Adrian from Rocky. Like, this wasn't a character she was playing. She was literally playing herself. She was herself, her name. Okay. Being like, let's get a 17-year-old girl naked film.
I was wrong. There was one celebrity cameo in this whole season, and it was Adrian from Rocky playing herself as a potential like pedophile movie producer. Okay. So fucking weird.
There was that season. I think was it season four? We had Karen Parsons playing Hillary Banks.
Right.
Which just, it doesn't make any sense because Will Smith played Will Smith. But Karen, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is not only a TV show in the Blossom universe, but it's also real life.
But it's also real.
Like it doesn't... it's a paradox, I think is what that's called.
Yeah, a huge one too that I hope that... Copyright-wise, I don't know if another podcast can come along and do a Blossom podcast because we can just be like, you can't do that.
I think we'd have to be NBC to be like, you can't do that.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. But
can you imagine NBC came after us? They're just like, you got to take that down. We'd be like, all right, fine. Paying $17 a month to have it hosted.
Yeah. In fact, you can, let's put it on some free hosting nonsense.
Yeah. I'm going to.
That is, I lost my train of thought.
I don't remember what we were thinking about.
Too many things at the same time.
Paradox.
I was gonna say if Joey Lawrence and Mayim Bialik in their like 50s or Jenna Von Oy and who's like whoever Carol is, they just get together and they're like, we're gonna do the Blossom podcast because we have nothing going on. And then they rip apart these episodes, do you think they'll find the same kind of stuff, or do you think they'll be very like careful with it?
They'd be more careful of it. Like, they wouldn't just tear it apart because, like, I guess now that it's on a streaming platform, they probably get royalties. So they probably wouldn't talk it down the way that we do.
But the thing is like, you listen to The Office Ladies and you listen to even Fake Doctors, Real Friends, and they don't hold back. Like, if a scene was bad, true. Or if there's a continuity error, they bring it up, and that's it. That'll be a focal point for a few minutes of the show. I would to see I'm technically a professional podcaster because I know how to do it, but I don't get paid for it. So I'm not a professional, but I'd like to see a professional podcaster with a producer and a team and talk about Blossom.
Yeah,
I
would see how close it. Oh, absolutely. I'd listen to it start to finish. I would love to see how that compares to our podcast.
Yeah.
It would be funny if they just like recited our podcast.
Well, that was my next question for you. Do you think that they would use our podcast as any form of resource?
They would have to look up, like, are there any Blossom podcasts and find exactly only us.
And then podcasts have like been around for 20 years and there's one Blossom podcast. At least we can say that.
Yeah, that's true. We are the only, I know we make jokes about being the best Blossom podcast, but it's true. There's no other Blossom podcast, so we are the best.
When I say we're award-winning, it's an award I gave to myself.
For being the only Blossom podcast.
Yep.
And the best. Greatest Blossom Podcast Award goes to Jason and Craig for Blossom Buddies.
It's been a lot of fun, but
a lot of fun. Just thinking about the whole series again, like the first season was so much better because they had a cameo in basically every episode. Like, right, the pilot had Felicia Rashad as Claire Huxtable, but as Blossom's dream mom.
And we were so excited about this show.
We were so, we hadn't been beaten down by things like Blossom in Paris.
Well, even in season three, was Blossom in Paris right at the pandemic? I think it was, right?
Oh,
I think season three was like a little bit in the pandemic and a little bit out of.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I could pull up the feed and go back and look at the dates, but I'm not going to do that.
But I think even right before the pandemic, I remember being like, we might have to do something about the length of this show, because while it is fun to talk to you for an hour about a dumb sitcom, as far as like people want other people listening to it, and this is something I've learned about doing a movie podcast too, you want the smaller the episode the better in the beginning. You expand and make longer when you get listeners, because I don't want to go into a podcast that is over an hour long to start, unless it's literally like Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
Well, that is a great podcast, but even then, like, I'm kind of stalled. I'm stalled right at the Ben episode, the funeral episode. Spoiler alert, Ben dies. If you haven't seen
Scrubs. Did they get they're talking now in the show about getting Brendan Fraser. Did they get him?
They got him, but not for that episode. Okay. They got him for a different episode. But yeah, I'm like at that episode, or maybe the episode after. And it's just so daunting because their episodes go an hour and a half to 2 hours sometimes. And that's a lot of my day listening to that. And like the other podcasts I subscribe to are like 30 minutes to an hour.
Office Ladies talks for an hour and a half. And The Comedy Button, which I've actually gone back and listened to about 30 episodes of, it's just a comedy podcast. It's just for internet weirdos. Brian
Altano started out as a video game podcast, right? It was GameSpy
Briefings. GameSpy Briefings, and Anthony Gallegos moved over with his buds, and I think that they all had different things. Max Scoville had a thing before IGN where he was with a couple other people who are known on the internet. I can't think of their names right now. Jim, the big fat guy who does movie reviews, is called the Jimquisition on YouTube. They had a thing on another video game network that I don't know if is even around anymore, but it was something like IGN. Anyway, long story short, these four guys who come from different video game avenues of the internet have this podcast where they just sit around in a room, and the big selling point of the show is sometimes it's only 45 minutes to an hour, and they've been around for 10 years. So it's kind of like that Keith and the Girl thing where you've just watched these people grow mm-hmm. over time, but it's four dudes who went from being basically like 20 something immature idiots to now all of them are married. All of them have kids except for Ryan Scott. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
He's like quintessential nerd. He's married. He's got a girl. He's got a wife and everything, but
yeah, not everyone needs kids. You guys are married. You're not having kids.
Right, exactly. And that's a discussion for, you know, another time.
It's too bad we didn't know each other like before we met our wife. I mean, we knew each other before I met my wife, but like I met you through your wife. It's too bad we didn't know each other long. Like this could have been that kind of thing. And we could have just gone on with something else other than Blossom, like something that's
we would have open-ended. Probably had a podcast with like Keith McNally that was like the Vinyl Countdown. That would be probably. Like an offshoot of the Vinyl Countdown if I was in your life for longer, I feel like.
That's probably true.
Because that was your baby for like that group of friends was people growing up together that way, wasn't it? How long?
Pretty much. I mean, Vinyl Countdown in its basic form, like the regular podcast, lasted 4 years, I think. And then we did the Vinyl Countdown Movie Club, which was a spinoff, but we only did like four episodes of that or something. We did Freddy Got Fingered, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Heavy Metal. That might have been it. Maybe there was only three. And for those who don't know, the premise of that spinoff was we would watch the same movie three times in a day to see if like we would pick up on like extra stuff. My favorite episode was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. We come up with some brilliant ideas about what the hell is up with this man child running around the city. So go look up Vinyl Countdown Movie Club, or maybe it's Vinyl Countdown Film Club.
They're out there. The like I said, the Heavy Metal one, which I was on. We watched Heavy Metal twice. We watched a weird different cut of the movie that like wasn't fully rotoscoped. And we watched the South Park episode that was heavily inspired.
Yeah. Something like that. Called? Boobs. Something with boobs.
Booberella. But, something like that. Anyway, they were all cheesing. Anyway. They were sniffing cheesing, cat piss. They were getting high. They were going to the Heavy Metal universe.
That's fun. One of my favorite classic. Episodes.
Yeah, it's
so good. It's so fucking good.
Her boobs are
boobing. Kenny runs into to Randy. Or not Randy, sorry, Kyle's dad. Whatever Kyle's dad's name is. And then they fight. fight over the like boob princess. And then it cuts to the real world and they're just like naked in the sandbox like, throwing shit at each other.
Yeah.
Classic, but let's talk South about Park. Blossom instead of South Park. Park
would be an metal. Infinitely better. That's it. That's like a quote from this show that if we gotten popular, us saying that podcasts about shows would be infinitely more popular. Like
yeah,
the amount of times, if we had the, you know, let's think back to the all the times that we said Fresh Prince would be an infinitely better.
I think Fresh Prince is the one that we've mentioned the most. In the beginning, I definitely mentioned Wonder Years a bunch.
You mentioned X-Files a whole bunch of times, but Kunal Nanjiani had his X-Files files.
Good for him for getting like big and famous, but like that's why that podcast stopped. He got, I think, like halfway through season two.
He did the Big Sick came out and he became a megastar.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. And so he's
now he's a fucking Marvel guy. Like that's one of the craziest. He's in the Eternals.
Yeah, I've kind of written off Marvel. I'm like, there's too much going on. It's too much to catch up on.
Personally, I've seen all of it. I've even watched What If, which is canonical to the rest of the shit. Technically,
that's great. No, I need to watch What If. What If's fucking great. I still only watched the first episode, but
and that's the worst.
And I should watch WandaVision, right? Like WandaVision's really WandaVision good. WandaVision
was fantastic. Winter Soldier is like if you love the Captain America story and you love Bucky Barnes and you love the Falcon, then you'll love that show. I find it kind of one of the more boring. Loki, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. I think my favorite Marvel ones in the Marvelverse, not counting the Fox stuff like Fantastic Four and X-Men, my favorite has been the Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
It's funny you should say that. I just booted up the game tonight.
Oh, I was thinking about getting it. I'll probably wait till it goes on sale.
I haven't gotten to any combat, but the opening is your Peter Quill as a kid, and they made a whole album of this band called Star-Lord. And nice. It opens with him listening, like it's first person and you're sitting in bed and you can fast forward and rewind this tape of this full album. And you look down to the side and there's this Rolling Stone that you open and you can read an article about the band that's totally made up. And you can pick up the tape, the cassette liner, and read the lyrics and like flip them over and look at the
cover. I love how they've like leaned into the music thing. Cause like the first movie, it was just like James Gunn found like a mixtape from his childhood and was like, well, this is a fucking awesome mixtape and it's going to be the soundtrack to the movie.
And this one has its own,
like, set the tone for the entire Guardians of the Galaxy. Like,
so the video game MCU, they're not, the games aren't linked, but they all have kind of the same visual style where they have a look-alike sort of dollar store version of the person who's basically the same character. For instance,
not Chris in the Avengers Pratt, but it's game, like Chris,
Chris Pratt, but he like they're all like Drax talks the same as Batista as Drax, but he's got a bit of a deeper voice. They just found a Bradley Cooper imitation voice for Rocket, and anybody can do Groot. And they Gamora's the only one that's like different, but they made her better. In my opinion, I found Gamora from the movies pretty one note. My point is this one has its own musical vibe that's exactly the same but completely different, because it's just the same era of 80s but like different songs. So like I need a Hero is in it. All the trailers had that song in it. And I'm pretty sure when you're walking around with planets and exploring, he's just got his tape deck on, so you might even be able to find new tapes. Probably not.
Great. You played Metal Gear Solid 5, right?
Yeah, I like, didn't play it, but I know.
But yeah, you could pick up tapes and you had a Walkman, so you could play a different tracks. Like you could put your headphones on and like.
That's Kojima. That's like it's in so cool. Death Stranding, how they introduce new. When you're just like wandering across the countryside, it's going to be a long walk. He just throws a whole song in and puts up like in the bottom of the screen, puts the name. And like where like the producer and like
the label. That's exactly what Metal Gear Solid was as well.
Oh, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, like you would still like you would choose like you would put in whatever tape, but then it would do that. It would in the corner. It would be like written and performed by David Bowie and Capitol Records and whatever.
That's really cool.
We're here to talk Blossom, about Blossom.
See, when we were a 50-minute-hour plus show, we had to say we're here to talk about Blossom all the time too. That's something I'm just remembering now.
Well, we have an agenda that we haven't really gotten to. I mean, we talked about Blossom in Paris and we didn't really wrap that up, but I think that's okay because we really made our feelings
felt. We did. That shit sucks. I hate it. Let's talk. Okay, so celebrities. Basically,
we have the same list of favorite pre-meeting celebrities.
Yep. Will Smith, Elf, and Little Richard. We touched on Will Smith a little bit.
Yeah, because Will Smith. So Will Smith's guest role was Six and Blossom went on like a school band trip to a different part of LA or whatever, or to Beverly Hills, and they were in a hotel experimenting with like, oh, like we can get drunk and have room service and go in this hot tub and stuff. And then I think the whole episode they were like, I think Will Smith is supposed to be in town. The Fresh Prince is supposed to be here. And then they get in the elevator and he was there. He was Fresh Prince.
And he's like, yo, wiggity wiggity whack.
Yeah. Like, he was like Fresh a caricature. Prince,
you're Will Smith. You're not Fresh Prince, even though he was acting like Fresh Prince. But then he was like, yo, what are you girls up to? I'm professional actor.
Yo, Akeem, that's Smith. That's a fly hat, homie.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm professional actor Will Smith. What are you guys up to? And they're like, oh, I can't talk. And then he's like, okay, you girls are weird. Bye. And it was totally like that. Really, really reminded me of like the Globetrotters showing up like on
Gilligan's
like,
Island. Yeah, yeah.
The celebrity walk on would just be like, hello, I am television, like Troy McClure from The Simpsons. Like, hello, I am television actor, whoever.
Willard Smith.
And then there were other better cameos where, for instance, in the first season, possibly the second, Elf was Saint Peter at the gate.
I think it was first season. Yeah, Elf played Saint Peter. I don't remember the specifics. Blossom, he definitely made a reference to eating cats.
Yeah, Blossom used to have these fantasies. So throughout the show, Blossom goes from its a video diary project to the heavily influenced by surreal fantasies that people in the show would have, to them just dropping all of that until the final episode. Occasionally we get other fantasies. There was one moment where aliens abducted Joey and Tony, which I realized today what might have been
aliens. I thought it was a ghost train.
Oh yes,
are we talking about the same episode? Right. Yeah.
Yes,
but there was the anyway, aliens okay. episode but we'll talk about
five
that
deadly when we get sins to our yeah I, that's episode. On my least favorite.
I like how we did not collaborate on our list, but they're the same.
I messaged you today and I was like, here's what I kind of want to do for the show. Best worst celebrities, and talk about how Blossom in Paris is an abomination of a thing. So Alf, St. Peter at the Gates, like you said, he, you know, wants to eat a cat.
I mean, just picture Alf at the height of Alf popularity, just guest starring on another sitcom. Like, that's, it was great. It was obviously like such obvious cross promotion, but like, whatever. It was.
Here's something I want you to think about.
Okay.
Sometimes sitcoms feel like they're taking place in the daytime. Like this Blossom, a lot of the time, because it's a they're going to school and going to coming back from school, and then shows like Alf and Married with Children always feel like they're happening in the evening. And did you ever have the feeling that Elf felt like it was like a nighttime, it was happening at nighttime?
Because yeah, it was after everyone, like Willie had to have come home from work. The like kids of Kate, no, Kate was the wife. What was the daughter's name?
Drundrist.
Yep. And
Drunzelda.
And Brian, the boy, like they obviously were home from school. So like everything, unless it was a weekend, which sometimes happened. Sure, it was a Saturday sometimes, but yeah, it was happening after school and after Willie was home from work. So it was like dinner and after dinner time stuff. Married with Children, I'll disagree though, because there was a lot of stuff where Peg was just like not doing her housework during the middle of the day. Yeah, just watching soap operas and eating candy bonbons.
The shoe store.
Yeah,
I think it's because of that one might be where I used to watch it at like 9 p.m.
Oh, it's because it was nighttime like when you watched.
So yeah, but also in my head, it's like Al Bundy sitting on the couch watching TV and getting his fucking football game interrupted by all his shitty neighbors and wife who wants to just hang out with him.
She just being wants to be a wife.
Your wife? Oh my god! Like, get out of here, Peg! I'm trying to jerk off. Watch football.
Ow, let's have sex.
No, Peg. I'm trying to look at this porno magazine and eat chicken wings.
God, that show was, it was Fox's first show.
Yeah.
It was a banger.
I can only imagine it being my favorite. Like, I remember watching it as a kid and being like, this show's too adult for me. You were a little
I had to sneak to watch it. I was not allowed to watch it.
I was just too young to even, but I was just on TV and I didn't get it. Like it was just happening and I didn't. But I could imagine if you were age appropriate for that show at that time, you get cable. Cable's this new thing. And then suddenly this like raunchy sit, like you're used to sitcoms at this point, but this raunchy sitcom comes on where they're talking about sex and everybody's toilets a dick. And,
yeah.
It's like, it feels like what It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is now. That's what that show must have.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It was pushing limits the same way.
Yeah.
There was just like, I love, one of my favorite gags on the show is just like Kelly bringing her like biker or gang member boyfriend's home and Al just like showing them the door, like slamming their face against the wall and then tossing them out the front door. That was my favorite running gag of Married with Children. Jason has disappeared, so I'm going to keep this on track. And
just before I move on, I just want to say that's basically the first iteration of throwing Jazz out of the house.
That's true.
But anyway,
that's true. Throwing Jazz out of the house was an evolution of that. Now the third favorite guest star that we both came up with was Little Richard, which I think was also season one. And it was a fantasy sequence, and it was something to do with like either Tony or Blossom getting married.
Tony was getting married, but also relapsing.
Relapsing, yeah. He was hunting around this room for girl pills and drugs. Yeah.
It was the episode where Tony gets a girlfriend who is a klepto.
Yeah, and she Blossom's, stole the watch. She stole Blossom's watch and gave it back to her or something weird like that.
Well, she got caught and then she's like, oh, I was holding on to it for you or something.
Yeah.
And Blossom is still having these waking nightmare fantasies that are fully realized for our viewing. Like when somebody in a show like this has a fantasy like that, that's some fourth wall breaking shit nowadays. Like we don't see these fantasies really anymore unless they're in a movie and it's a twist or something. But anyway, she goes into this hotel room where Tony's wasted and looking for pills, looking for drugs.
Yep, just drugs,
specifically.
Generic. Oh, this cat.
Oh, do you have a cat?
Yeah, the cat's decided he's going to climb on the table and start.
Friend of the show, Hank the cat.
Hank the cat.
Anyway,
that Little Richard shows up. Little Richard conducts the wedding ceremony. Like, he's going to be the officiant for the wedding in the fantasy, and then tells somebody to shut up, which was the greatest moment of the show, in my opinion.
I think that was the peak. Blossom peaked.
Little Richard telling people to shut up.
Blossom technically peaked in season four, like commercially, with that made for TV movie, which was ultimately its downfall. But Little Richard was the peak of the show in like season two.
Yeah, peak comedy, Little Richard. And I had also written down, so I wrote down a third favorite guest star, which was James Marsden, which, yes, he was the would-be rapist. But I wrote him down just because he looks the same in 1994 as he does today in 2021. He just looks like a 20-year-old man.
Speaking of would-be rapists, but instead statutory rapists, David Sonny. Schwimmer. Yeah,
he was a good one as well.
He's in a couple episodes. I think it's a two-parter, and then they reference him later when Six is like, I had a weird year. I have to go to rehab.
His accent was the worst.
I'm Sonny, and I've got to talk like this.
I'm going to talk like this because I'm from New York.
I'm dating this girl who's just 20
I'm dating
younger
here.
Than me. I'm dating you. I'm trying to fuck. Get out of my way, Blossom. I'm trying to fuck.
Good on say Six. You know what they should have done? Like, they should have really. We brought up last week or the week before, like Boy Meets World, and how like they had some many very special episodes about Sean, Corey's best friend, and like his rough upbringing, and like Sean's life. Just like he needs help. Like, he's not doing well. They could have done that with Six. Like, Six's dad left, and he was a drunk, and. That's funny, like, because Six started having drinking problems, and she always dated the wrong people. Like, they could have taken Six's problems seriously, and they didn't. They just like swept them under the rug most of the time.
But the funny thing about Six's dad is he's played by that actor who plays the drunk in Mad Men, but the guy is the most innocuous looking dude.
He's just a big teddy bear.
I'm gonna see if I can find out his name. Yeah,
when Six's dad finally showed up, that was not who I was picturing. Six kept being like, my dad's a drunk piece of shit. And then this guy shows up. I'm like, oh, that
guy.
It'd
be easier if I look up Mad Men. Yeah, and this is a character actor who shows up in a lot of movies. I was expecting when, you know, you hear about the famous story that's on the only piece of trivia on the IMDb page is Six's name came from her parents
having six beers. That's how many beers it took.
Took at a Rolling Stones show or whatever. I expected this dude to come in on a motorcycle. From like a flying motorcycle from space.
Yeah, with a flying V guitar and a big ZZ Top beard and sunglasses and leather from head to toe.
And I expected, you know, him to be the antithesis.
No, he's like an accountant. He's like a fat, out of shape like accountant who wears pastels.
To be the antithesis of Nick, who is a musician, but he's a real tight-laced, and he's like, you know, like, I'm kind of cool, but I'm also like a dad.
He used to be cool. Yeah. Like,
he used to be,
he's cool, like me. He used to be super cool, but now I'm a dad, and I gotta be firm about shit.
Dad it up all the time.
Not yet. I'm gonna dad it up, but I mean, my kid can barely talk. So things are still pretty cool. Cool and loose. It sucked. You know what sucks about Desmond? You know, he's sleeping in the bed with us. Like, I finally hooked up my switch to the bedroom TV, so it's not just a portable system anymore, and I've been playing like Pac-Man 99, which I know is old, but just like, I just want to fucking play it. It's so addictive. And like, Pam's like, I just want to watch you play Pac-Man 99, but Desmond's like, we can't play Pac-Man. Well, Desmond's trying to sleep. He wires him because it's just shit's flashing everywhere, and he gets very excited and starts jumping.
I mean, it was one of the first like big mainstream video games, so you know, that's what it did to our brains when we were tiny babies. So I could only imagine what it'd be like. That's the first, he's probably gonna have memories of that being the first video game he was ever exposed to in that case.
Quite possibly. It's a real like dopamine trip for me. Cause like, I mean, I've been playing Pac-Man for like 35 years. And so coming into this game, not even knowing the mechanics of like how this competitive Pac-Man works, like I'm coming like top 20 every time I play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. But we're here to talk about Blossom. Do you want to talk about our favorite episodes?
I do. I can't find this fucking guy, but he's like, I've been looking that whole time for the actor's name. Anyway, just imagine a dopey looking fat guy who's like an accountant, but when they talk about him, he seems like he's a rock star.
Yeah.
And Six's mom is a fucking sweetheart too. She was by Six's side every step of the way. She got mad at Six for being with Sunny, but she was also like, I get it. Just what are you doing?
Also, like, we learn right towards the end of season 5, towards the end of the show, that like Six's mom basically never leaves her alone at home, because Six freaks out. And like the last like 3 or 4 episodes, Six is like, my mom's not going to be home this weekend. Can I sleep at your house? I've never slept in the house by myself before. So like we learn that like, yeah, her mom is not going out and partying. Her mom is staying home and taking care of her daughter 7 days a week.
That's true. So,
and then Nick and her, I forget her name, but they dated for like an episode, and then that they were just like, let's be friends.
They had a weird, like, they were good friends and then they hooked up and then they were like both. I felt like it was mutual, at least.
It was, yeah, it was totally mutual. It was going to be like a will they, won't they thing. And then they were like, nah, we won't.
It felt a little bit more like Nick was like, I don't think we should be doing this just because our daughters are friends.
Yeah.
That said, it did ultimately get written in a way that you didn't have to think hard about it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's get to favorite episodes. You want to list one off?
Yeah, okay. What's so one of yours? We're at an hour in right now. I feel like we could talk about this all night. So let's talk about our favorite episodes and then sign off for the very final time, which is going to be weird.
Okay.
My favorite episode of Blossom, I think when it all comes down to it, is the like... I've got a lot of feelings about this. I don't think I have a favorite episode.
I didn't rank mine. I just picked 3 that like I thought were probably my favorite, but like I would have had to think about it for far too long to actually pick the top 1, 2, and 3. And like I'm still not sure that I picked like my 3 favorites. It was easier to pick my least favorites.
Let me talk to you. Let me just have a conscious stream of consciousness from the 8 episodes I picked as my favorites.
Okay.
And I'll just give a little bit about why each one is a favorite. Dad's new girlfriend or Dad's girlfriend is the one where they have all of the what would be like if this person was the way that they were and the different families, the archetypes that would happen.
That was great. Is that the one? That's not the same one where Tony, there was an episode and I couldn't find the episode, but like Tony was freaking out about people being different and just everyone in the kitchen was like a gang member and we're like throwing beer cans at Tony's head and shit.
Okay, that's the episode I'm thinking of, but my dad's girlfriend is like the 3rd episode and it has what's her face from Frasier. That's not her in the episode I'm thinking of. Because the woman that I'm thinking of is like a model type person. Anyway, the episode I'm talking about is the one where Blossom or maybe is it Tony that imagines the family in all these different ways.
I don't like, yeah, would I if I had the time, I would have watched that episode again today because I enjoyed it. And all I remember is Tony was, you know what it is? I think each member of the family has their own like fantasy nightmare about it. So Tony's is that this woman's gonna come in and everyone's gonna turn into drunk bikers and not respect his sobriety. So that was Tony's nightmare. And I don't remember how Joey and Blossom.
Joey had the film noir.
Oh, right.
And ironically, I can't even remember what Blossom's was.
Because Blossom is such a piece of shit as a human. She's the worst person on the show.
We haven't even talked about that yet. Okay. Here comes the buzz because I put a lot of effort in. Jake was on that episode, Jake Thurgood, and I put a lot of effort into a YouTube video that I made where I used a style that was like pictures when we were talking, then a picture from the show, and then a picture of a thing we're talking about. It was a lot of work. I put hours into, I made about 5 of them, and it was too much work for the amount of
viewership.
We had bigger plans for this show.
I wrote that down as one of my honorable mentions, by the way. It's not in my list, but I wrote it down as an honorable mention because Six had a wig for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they ever dressed that.
It's also the first, it's the first appearance of Buzz. I believe, and he comes in as this dirty old pervert who's hilarious for and nice for one episode, and then he turns into a real piece of shit. and then we killed him for many weeks.
Was he nice? I thought he was a piece of shit right up. I thought he was an extra piece of shit in that.
We first talked episode. About how he's a piece of shit, but going back and I had to spend a lot of time with that episode. He was actually like pretty fun loving and chill. It just after his welcome was worn out. Like, it was funny that his first introduction is like, he pissed in the bushes. Oh my God, what a dickhead. But then in the next episode, I think he's like showing the kids porn. It might even be the same episode that you might be, right? But like, yeah. So that's on the list. Then there's The Joint. I always love an episode about weed. That's just the one where Blossom and Six find a joint. The Will Smith episode, which we covered. I hated it when we watched it, but 38 special about the gun. It's the most relevant episode probably of all of them, except for like maybe like the sexual assault one, which is up there. But I still hold that in my special place because when I was watching this show, I was like, I overhyped myself on it because of the way I remembered it as a kid. And basically a kid brings a gun to school and then he shows it to Blossom and he's like, if you tell anybody, who knows? And then at the end of the episode, it's like, the gun went off. Who knows?
Oh, oops. That guy's dead now.
I guess so.
And that's why you never have a gun.
And then these two episodes are special to me because I remember them so vividly from when I was a kid. And that's the Rockumentary, which was the Madonna Lampoon parody, which is just like the same as the Sex and Videotape or whatever the fucking Madonna documentary is called. And then the one with the sad drunk clown, which was like the C-plot of the episode. But I remember that so vividly from when I was a kid. And then finally, the thing I want to bring up is that the series finale to me is actually when Tony leaves.
Well, hold up. The one with the drunk clown, that was also 38 special. That was the same.
Was episode. That also 38
special? It was. Yeah.
Okay. So two of the same episode made it on. That episode is like Blossom to me when I think
that episode
Blossom.
Was great, except that like they really should have taken the time more seriously, like,
especially us watching it in 2021 or whenever 2020 when we watched it, like
I guess this was before like Columbine and like before school shootings. I mean, school shootings,
no, it wasn't happening like the for a same while, but time like, as them starting to happen. I think this was like an awareness attempt. This was like a PSA attempt,
maybe. Yeah, maybe it was this would have been before Columbine, because Columbine, like Marilyn like Manson was right? Like, I just know that Marilyn Manson was dragged into that. Like, Marilyn Manson was blamed for Columbine, and Google no one knew who he was until.
We have to get one final Google in here. Let's find out when Columbine was.
Okay, Google, when did the Columbine shootings happen? The Columbine High
School start date is 1999. Oh, really? Columbine didn't happen in 1999?
Yeah, that's what Google just said.
Was that like more Columbine shootings?
Columbine, the return.
Am I thinking of
Electric Boogaloo?
What's that shit where that like crazy, not the fuck in Texas?
Yeah, it was 1999.
Waco. When did Waco happen?
Hey Google, when did the Waco bombing happen?
That was a massacre, not a bombing.
What am I thinking of then? I found a table on Wikipedia that probably has your answer. Okay.
Hey Google, when did the Waco massacre happen? The Waco Sears start date is
February 28th, 1993. Okay. Yeah, that was 93. What's the bombing that I'm having? So whatever. We're getting way off topic. No, you're
thinking of the Unabomber.
Yes, I am thinking of the Unabomber.
Isn't it like Colorado or Atlanta?
I don't know.
Okay. No. Okay. Google, thank you. You've been a great guest on this show all these years. Fuck you. Fuck off. You're the worst fucking robot of all robots.
Yes. Thanks to Google. I like how we both have our Google. Both our Googles are not default voices anymore.
No,
like,
I've got an Australian woman. You have the dude.
I've been playing like the past couple of weeks. I've just been playing around with the different voices because I'm just sick of like the default one. I'm like, some of these sound more natural, but some of them sound less natural. So I'm trying to figure out which I like best. So I'm going through the dudes. I'm just running right through all the Google dudes.
Just jerking off.
Running a train on these Google dudes right now.
But my final thought on the best episodes were, I think the show ended for me when Tony left because of that show handling an ending so much better than the actual ending to this show, which was just a bunch of people mostly reminiscing in different rooms in the Blossom House.
And then Blossom was like, well, see you later. And bye. Then credits. Bye.
And then after Tony leaves, it felt like everybody was trying to get a spinoff. And they wrote it like that. So that's the extra weird thing. Like, there was no improv. they wrote it like all these characters seem
like
they
were trying to like. No, it was it was the writer's bait. Like, I'm sure NBC was like, guys, we're pulling the cord on this fucking show. Like, it's so fucking stupid. And everyone's so like, well, we're gonna. Dumb. I feel like the writers were like, they were walking a fine line. They're like, we can't make it too obvious that we're trying to make a spinoff, but like, maybe cross your fingers. Let's see if maybe Joey's baseball career will be a spinoff show.
I think Joey had the best shot because he was the most likable. He had the catchphrase and he had the girlfriend who he asked to marry who would go on to be a star.
Yeah, like right after Blossom, Joey had the best career. I mean, obviously now Mayim Bialik, like Big Bang Theory trumps like whatever all of them did afterwards. But
before she gets on to Big Bang, he has My Three Brothers or My Brother's
My Three Keeper. Sons. Yeah, My Brother's Keeper.
Brother's Keeper.
He had Melissa and Joey.
And then Melissa and Joey. And that's before Mayim Bialik even ends up as a like fucking fifth ring character.
And like that character series went like 8 seasons or something like that, was
like 9 or 10 seasons.
And then I think he had another pretty big show as well that I can't remember, and I'm not gonna bother looking it up.
Who cares
My favorite episode. Oh, sorry, are you done your favorite episode?
I'm done. Those were the episodes that scream Blossom, and I've got honorable. I could talk about the first couple of seasons of Blossom, and it's weird because in my head I knew what happens at the end of Blossom when we went into this, and it happened in season 4, and I thought it happened in season 5 where Carol and Nick hook up and they have the baby. That goes on for like 30 episodes. That goes on for 2 fucking seasons of a network TV show. What also sticks out in my head are like the first 30 episodes, which are all the best fucking shit. The first season and the second season, maybe the episodes that have the old lady. Remember the old lady?
Shout out to her.
Those ones I like don't remember, but there's like a middle point there between season, like late season 1, season 2, and maybe early season 3 a little bit. That's Blossom to me.
Yeah.
And that's all I want to say about my favorites of Blossom. I loved it, but I hate it. And I love
my favorite episodes. I'm gonna go for in no particular order, Beach Blanket Blossom.
Okay.
The throwback one where there's like a surf competition, and there was a bunch of cameos in that. Like Jimmy Walker was one of the judges of the surf competition. I don't remember who else was in there, but it was great because like nobody was. It was one of those episodes where the actors all played different characters. Like Blossom wasn't Blossom. Well, I guess Blossom was because it was her fantasy, maybe. But then like no one else was themselves. Like Joey or Tony was some gang leader who was trying to like cheat his way into winning the surf competition by like blowing people up with a bomb or something. It was fucking amazing. And then I had Student Films, which is the one, it was almost like a clip show, except it was like, so Joey, Six, and Blossom, and also Tony showed his, but they all made like student films for school projects. And it was, I think that was the first point when I was like, Blossom is not the best person on this show. Like her student film was trash. It was just utter art house trash. Like she was trying to be artsy and it was just absolute garbage. I remember Joey's was some like sci-fi action.
Joey's was the best one. And I liked Tony's too. That was
just, Tony's
care about your shit, man. I'm stoned, man.
Yeah, Joey's was like Jack Kerouac. Like existential druggy like student film, like what you would really expect a student film to be like. And then his girlfriend, what was her name?
Rhonda.
Rhonda, played by Portia Dawson.
Yeah.
Just she lost it because there was a girl in his movie. She lost it on him. She was like, who's that girl? What the fuck is going on?
That was
on?
My
like,
girlfriend a decade ago. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Which sums up Rhonda perfectly. Like she's too hot for Tony if we're looking at it superficially. And she just gets pissed off at Tony for things that make no sense to get pissed off at anyone for.
He would get mad at her for similar things. And she even had a thing where
they're the worst couple.
Like, oops, I kissed another person. He was like, fuck you, but also I'm not going to leave you.
Yeah. You were flirting with Mickey Mouse. What the fuck? I don't remember what Six's film was in that, but I'm sure it was better than Blossom's episode. But that whole episode was just, watching their student film. So it was nice. There was no plot to the episode, but it was well done. And my last, in no particular order, favorite episode was I'm With the Band, which was the Fresh Prince episode.
Yeah.
I thought that because I thought it was a good good representation of what Blossom was as a show. They got like a nice celebrity guest. They got Six and Blossom experimenting with growing up, trying to do adult things. Like I think it really encapsulated what Blossom was about as a show.
That was the first time Six ever had a drink.
But they
both spit it out, I believe, but I hypothesize that they actually did get a little bit tipsy just from it being in their mouth.
Probably. Because they were like 14 or whatever. Honorable mentions, because that was my top three, but like I also had like Here Comes the Buzz, but mostly because we never figured out why Six had a wig in that episode. And then there was that episode, remember when Six and Blossom fought over like the job at the record store?
Oh, I forgot about that episode.
And then just like
they were trying to do a backdoor reboot where now they one of them works at a like it felt like that's like that 70s show. They
like season eight like of that 70s show where Hyde got the record store, and then half like instead of Eric's basement, because he wasn't on the show anymore, it all happened in the record store.
Yeah.
But then they never mentioned that again.
No. And then Tommy Chong went to prison. Well, you mean in Blossom, they never mentioned it again.
Yes.
That's why they got rid of the record store, because Tommy Chong went to prison for having bongs, for selling bongs with his name on them. It's like he must be so pissed in this day and age where it's mostly legal.
Probably. Man, he's got to be like 90 now.
No, man, he's in his like 70s. They have TikToks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Google, one more time. How old is Tommy Chong?
Hey Google, how old is Tommy Chong?
83. And then my last honorable mention was, remember when Joey got back together? This was in like the second last episode, when he got back together with an ex for 2 days and they got engaged, and Nick was like, cool, congratulations. Like, what kind of father have you turned into? He stopped being a father. Nick is not a father.
He stopped threatening violence on his kids like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And they get away with whatever they want. That's like a lesson to take away from the whole thing. You gotta treat your kids. You gotta treat your kids like prison wardens, or else they're gonna walk all over you.
They're gonna get married after dating someone for 2 days.
Her lies and deceit started off as like pretty innocuous. By the end of it, she's just like straight lying, lying and manipulating. She manipulates people constantly.
Constantly. Her teacher, when she just thought she should have gotten an A, and the teacher was like, you didn't do the fucking assignment. She's like, well, I quit the class then.
And the teacher was like, fine.
Like, but that Blossom's so spoiled.
That was wrapped up well for Blossom, because the teacher was like, fine, you can come back, and everybody had a laugh.
Yeah. As most episodes. Like, oh, that kid shot himself? Oh, well, that's funny. Let's go on dating Vinny. They
said the gun discharged, and he, I don't know what happened. It was a weird way to handle.
But we never saw that kid again.
Because he probably
fucking killed himself by accident.
By accident, maybe. maybe. So I guess we've covered everything. I actually want to talk about Beach Bash again for 1 second.
Okay.
And just a unique thing for that for me was, I don't think I'd ever seen that episode before, or I was so young that I saw it and didn't, like, my memory doesn't register it as an episode of Blossom or something.
Because it's so different. Like, no one's called Blossom or Six or Tony in it.
I don't remember that episode at, or I did, didn't when we watched it, remember that episode at all.
It was another one where, like, it didn't need to be a two-parter.
Yeah.
It dragged on a little bit, but I feel like they got the set. They were like, we've got all the fucking cameras down at the beach. We're filming two episodes.
And we got Michael Stoyanov should have won an Emmy for his.
He was so good. That was his peak
of portrayal of a 60s
beach villain
with cronies. He was like a Batman. He was like a 60s Batman villain.
That's true. This was a very Batman episode.
Yeah.
There was an episode of Batman where Batman had to face the Joker in a surfing competition. Yes. And earlier in that episode, he had turned Robin into a surfboard.
That's what happens.
That's what happens in 1960s Gotham City.
Yep.
I don't know where this beach came from.
There's two more segments I want to do before we get out of here. I know this is going to be our longest episode of all time. But before we get to So there's three more segments I want to do. Let's quickly go through the worst episodes because we can easily come up with three.
Yeah.
And I want to try to pinpoint if the show jumped the shark, and then we're going to do our final drug count. hat watch, bull watch. Whoa.
We're going to count all of them.
No, but okay. I do have some thoughts about it. So just to get to our worst episodes, it's Thanks for the Memorex and Seven Deadly Sins and the other clip show, right?
The clip show, I left the clip show out because I feel like that was too obvious.
This is technically a clip show also, right?
That's true. Yeah. But clip shows can be good. Like Always Sunny did a great clip show. South Park has had some great clip shows.
Community is legendary for its clip shows.
Oh God. Yeah. My three worst episodes were Blossom in Paris, of course. And Seven Deadly Sins and Thanks for the Memorex. So we already talked about Blossom in Paris, but Seven Deadly Sins is the one where there's a UFO just hovering above the Russo residence. And they go through like gluttony and pride and like all this stuff, just watching the Russos and Six like live their lives. And there was no plot. And it was almost like a skit episode. They're trying to do skits based on the Seven Deadly Sins. And it was so fucking stupid.
It was like a 22-minute episode of a bad sketch show.
Yeah.
And I know that
there's a sketch we're going to do for 22 minutes. Like, that's, yeah.
I know they were trying to do something unique.
They pulled off unique a few times, and this was not one of the times where they pulled it off.
No, the shot from inside the fucking closet from the pantry was the most unique. Genius. We talked from the moment that happened.
Genius cinematography.
They never did it a second time.
History.
That's a Ted Loss directing original. You know, you don't see that shot like ever. And he did it in such a way that like you don't see like where the stage ends. It was like you see the kitchen, like a cone of the kitchen. You see what it would look like from the pantry. But this was not that. This was just like one about greed and one about envy and one
sloth.
About anger.
Sloth was the one where they were just all watching TV and no one wanted to get up.
Yes.
Running gag. There was like three or four sequences of them just sitting on the couch watching TV.
I think more people just kept coming into the couch. The longest plot was the one where Vinny was just like getting angry. And it was just like, okay. And then he's passing his anger on to other people. And
oh,
like, okay.
Yeah. That's so stupid. And then the last one being Thanks for the Memorex.
Yeah,
which was early on. It was almost a clip show, except they weren't clips we had seen before. I mean, I'll applaud them for, I think this was the first time they used one of Joey Lawrence's little brothers to play the character Joey at a younger age. Like that was smart thinking. But it was just like Blossom watching a bunch of home videos. And this is like episode 5 or something of the whole series. Like we don't know these characters that well. Like, why the fuck are they showing us home videos of them camping?
And they had another episode that was similar to this that I can't think of, but it was basically Don Rio just jizzing all over the place with his.
Yes, like, we learned early on that Don Rio episodes were the worst.
They were always the worst. They were the most contrived nonsense. I would like to add that the worst episodes were always when Blossom was being like extra conniving, you know, like, and it was just so telegraphed, and that there's no specific episode I'm thinking of. It was just like a trait that she
had. She became like a really bad friend to Six
many times.
Six was a great friend,
especially in season 5.
And Blossom was just a real piece of shit to her supposed best friend, only friend really. There's times when there's like sleepovers and whatever where other kids show up. Remember that bulimic one, the bulimic girl?
Yes.
And then never talked about that again.
No, they bullied her the shit out of her. And then, well, they brought it up at a sleepover. It's fucking weird, man.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's ambush her because that'll make her feel safe and willing to seek help for her problem. Okay. You had other segments?
The final segment before we wrap her up here, I'd like to know, besides obviously the point in Blossom that we hate the most is when they go to Paris.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily when the show jumped the shark. I think the show jumped the shark when like they started making the characters not be. Like they did some character development and then they reneged on that. And I think that the show might have jumped the shark in when they tried to repilot. in the beginning of season five. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because
I don't, like, because like the whole show started sucking before that. Like, it's not like,
yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of a specific point. The whole time we've been recording, I've been like trying to think of, like, when might they jump the shark? And like, Blossom in Paris is the obvious standout, but like, the show,
there were still some good episodes in season four. Like, there were still,
yeah,
some
ones, but where like, like, and the show had fine. Also declined prior to that. It's not like the show was stellar all the way through season three.
Yeah,
like season one and two were the best, and it was a gradual decline. And then just Blossom in Paris is the standout piece of shit.
I have a controversial. Even though it was a good moment, I think when Joey stopped the bank robbery, which I believe was in season three, possibly season four, that might have been that jump the shark unbelievable moment, just because after that it made us question if
his intelligence
was really stupid or not.
Yeah. Or you know what else is another good jump the shark moment, is when they, again, the ghost train.
Yeah. Oh dude, fucking there it is.
Yeah,
the ghost train, when Joey reveals that he might not be that dumb, and also seven deadly sins, all have very good contention.
And then also when they get Winston the dog, that's the Poochie moment, where they're, yeah, just like, I don't know, bring in a funny dog.
Like, or the time they just dropped the British accent on Kennedy.
Yeah, no, I really, I like that, because I feel like it's Ted Wass just being like, stop doing this accent. And
it's
just
the same thing as if halfway through this podcast, I just started doing bad British accent. Hello, mate.
I'm from Australia.
I'm from England. Definitely.
Hey, put another prawn on the barbie, eh? We don't say shrimp down here. Another prawn. Put some prawn on the barbie, you dingo. Breakfast
on the barbie, you dingo. I don't know. So yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to get out of that. We squeezed our little dumb late night brains and juiced out all the goo.
There's a bunch of sharks that were jumped, is what we've come down to realize.
Yeah.
Bunch of little sharks.
I think the show should have ended at Tony leaving. They should have just kept Tony and Shelley on the show and did that as the finale. Fuck it. Like, they could have, like, they were already doing a thing where they were just like, well, Tony this, Tony that, but he's not on the show, or like, he would show up for an episode. They could have just done
why
that.
Yeah, why did Tony have to leave? Like, yeah, so stupid.
Anyway,
This has been Blossom Buddies.
Well, we still have to do one more. Hats. We still have to, well, you're wearing one hat. I've got headphones on. So that's two hats. Drug references.
I'm on alcohol right now.
Yeah, we're both drinking.
I'm doing alcohol.
I mentioned that Tony was a stoner. If you guys didn't know, Tony did a lot of drugs in high school.
Yeah, go back and listen to our early episodes.
Our whole show.
Go back. Yeah, listen to all the episodes.
Three times. Watch. I did one woe because I did.
There was no woe in the finale. I don't know if we pointed that out last week.
There was. It was in.
There was the silent
montage at the end.
Silent montage, but that was a clip. That was a flashback. And it was silent, we didn't hear it, so I don't panic.
Craig and Jason watch. There were two.
Yep, one of each.
One Craig, one Jason. Video game talk watch.
One Tom Petty.
A whole bunch of video game talk. One Tom Petty. For video viewers in 2027.
That seems like a realistic goal.
It is, if I start now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess we got our final lesson. The lesson is don't do a podcast
about Blossom.
And our final opinionation is, I had a great time doing this podcast, and I'm very thankful for the people that did listen. And if you made it this far into this episode and you've heard it all, fucking comment below, because you didn't.
If we earned any money on this episode, we would have a contest and be like, congratulations, you win a Blossom DVD box set or something.
I actually have some shirts.
Oh, do we still have shirts? Extra shirts? Still have
a couple of shirts that if you want one, take it.
If you want one, just ask. Yes. You got to pay shipping, but you can have it. You probably won't have to pay shipping because you probably live in Toronto and Jason can just give it to you.
But it wasn't a waste of time to me, because we didn't get the viewers we thought, or the listeners. I did, you know, do 2 years of straight up podcasting. Like, I can't, the damage is done. The experience has been gained. I'm a high level podcaster now because of this.
Oh yeah. We got lots of XP. Like, I would say we probably gained like four levels
easily in D&D.
Maybe a level per season.
In Final Fantasy, five, yeah. I'm level 100 and I'm like end game.
Final Fantasy, I like to go to Final Fantasy Legend, like the Romancing Saga games, where it's just like you didn't get levels. Just like, oh, your agility goes up. Oh, your strength goes up because
you like Final Fantasy 2?
No, because that game kind of sucks.
No, that's it's not. Yeah, the Romancing Saga games are what Final Fantasy 2 is based off of.
Oh, really?
The there's Final Fantasy 2 and then all the Romancing Saga games where you like level up by using your abilities. That's directly because of that game. And it has its own. Yes. That's why that game is so important. It has its own.
Well, Romancing Saga, like the Game Boy Final Fantasy games are actually the first Romancing Saga games. Yes, like I thought they were spun
except for Final Fantasy Legend, which is actually a mana game, but.
No, Final Fantasy Adventure.
Or Adventure, yes.
Sorry. Is a mana game. But yeah, the three Final Fantasy Legend games were the first Romancing Saga games. Yeah. And then they became their own thing. Or they were named that in Japan and Final Fantasy here or whatever. This has been Blossom Buddies.
Final Fantasy Buddies. Hey, that would be an infinitely better podcast.
There's so many podcast. Final Fantasy games. There, I read a rumor today that they're remastering Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yep. I read that several days ago because I read the Final Fantasy subreddit every day.
Nice. So that should be good.
Because I'm a mega fan.
Well, stay tuned. We may have if we come out with another podcast, we will for sure put a teaser up on this feed. So stay subscribed, even if you've made it this far and listened to every episode. Staying subscribed is probably the best way to learn about what podcasts we have next. Or, I mean, follow us on all social media. Follow us on Facebook at Blossom Buddies or on Twitter at I think Blossom Buddies Podcast. I forgot all our handles.
It's just Blossom Buddies. I shut down the Instagram and opened it anew as hated to see this one. So if you're listening to this and you're like, what happened? Well, you're part of my new ploy. I did want to say to end things off here that if we do a new show, it's going to be like the antithesis of this. We learned enough about this that we're going to make it shorter but broader subjects. So if you do see us in your ears or on your screen again, it's going to be something that's much more easy to
we're not actually going to do a rewatch show of Bosom Buddies or My Two Dads or Perfect Strangers
or Little Wonder or The $6 Billion Man.
Well, or any current show. I know we've thrown around the idea of like watching a show that's about to come out. Like there's the new Wonder Years. I know you pitched that, but I'm like, I don't know how long that show's going to last.
Yeah,
I don't like the open-endedness because like I like the idea of doing something open-ended, but that we can end whenever we want.
Yeah,
if we're doing a show, we have to wait for that show to end. We have to keep following that along. And who knows? Like, the new Fresh Prince, that could last 15 seasons
or could last 6 episodes.
Yeah, and like either one of those scenarios is not ideal, because if it's 6 episodes, then we have to come up with another idea. If it's 15 seasons, then our lives are committed to that show forever.
So we'll be back in 2022 with our Wonder Years and Fresh Prince co-podcast, where I only talk about things from Fresh Prince. Craig only talks about things from the Wonder Years, and we try to have a cohesive conversation,
and it will never work.
Which is kind of
a bad idea
week after week, forever and ever.
I kind of thought about, and this would maybe be way too long because it's 7 seasons, but you've started watching Star Trek Next Generation. And I think it would be kind of funny to do that with like me being a pretty big Trekkie and like this being your first time actually trying to watch it all the way through.
I'm sure that podcast exists, though.
I'm sure it does. And also it's like 7 seasons, that's like 200 episodes. It's longer than Blossom. I'm not... That would take all the joy out of Star Trek for me.
I don't think you're into Star Trek enough to do that. And I don't think I'm willing to like get into Star Trek then, like sight unseen.
I think it would kill my joy in Star Trek. Like, this podcast killed my joy in Blossom.
Look what it did to our memory of Blossom, a beloved sitcom that we loved just as a memory.
But I could leave it as a memory. Star Trek, I'm going to keep watching Star Trek over and over until I die. So yeah. Don't want to have to analyze it.
Analyze.
I guess this is Craig signing off.
This is Jason signing off of Blossom Buddies. I hope if you're listening to this in 2027, fucking comment below.
But not before.
Nope.
Bye.
Bye.